Hello everyone, I'm Matthew, I'm the lead pastor here at Cedar Ridge. Thank you so much for joining us again. We're really glad you're here. We're in a series at the moment called Recentering. It's all about taking care of ourselves, especially during these difficult circumstances that we're in. And we've been looking at various subjects over the last few weeks. We started off talking about loving and accepting ourselves. Then we talked about being present and grounded in our own bodies, in our own physical environments. And then we talked about creativity and how that is a refreshing and re-energizing way to look after ourselves. And then last week we talked about rest. And if you're anything like me, I think, you know, in a series like this, pretty much every week something comes up that's pretty challenging. And I think, oh yeah, I need to change. That's an area I need to do better at, you know, looking after myself. And if we're not careful, ironically, we end up, loading up the plate and having all these ways that we need to change, and that can feel like more pressure. So if we're feeling like that, let's just remember again the words of Jesus that have become kind of like a theme scripture for us during this series. In Matthew 11, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So let's just remember, if we're feeling pressure, that's probably not coming from Jesus. That's coming from somewhere else. So let's just let that pressure go. And maybe what we need to do is just reflect back over the past few weeks. This is the penultimate in the series. We're going to look at the theme of Thanksgiving next week. Today we'll look at friendship. But let's reflect on what we've done so far and just sort of pick out what's the one thing maybe that we feel jumped out at us that we really need to do. What might sustainable change look like in that context, rather than it being a pressure or a burden to us? Let's lean into Jesus and let Jesus take the pressure. As I mentioned, today we're going to talk about friendship, and I don't think any of us need any persuading that friendships are a wonderful source of self-care for us, right? Our friendships are really positive in our lives. And yet at the moment, you know, friendships are under strain because we're not able to connect it with each other in the way that we usually have been able to. You know, we're maybe restricted to electronic communication, to socially distanced interaction. And whatever way we look at it, it's not the same, and it's been difficult. And I think probably we've experienced that sense of having perhaps taken things for granted before, certain relationships where we were just used to seeing people regularly and frequently, and that was a sort of normal part of our lives. And without it, the whole kind of relational rhythm of our lives has been upset. It's different. And we're feeling the tension of that. And I think especially, actually, we're feeling it as a church community. You know, we have not been able to meet together for, 8 months now? And, we've been used to just meeting every week. Maybe we didn't come every week, but we were able to come every week. We knew we could connect. And I think, like all frequent activities, we can begin to take it for granted. And we're missing that now and realizing how precious it was. But I think that there's something positive in that. Because it's still precious. Our connection is still precious. And when we think about, just even being able to connect on Zoom, you know, for a couple of months now, we've been connecting live on Zoom. And we're hearing so much feedback from everyone about how positive that is. What a great experience that is, that we can see each other and hear each other and interact with each other, whether it's after the service or via the chat. It's not the same. But there's something beautiful about us being come together. And I think we realize just how much we value the sort of collective friendship, if you like, of this community. And I want to thank you for all the loving and caring and serving that has continued to go on in this community, even since we've not been able to meet together. It's just incredible. And we've rallied and we've been able to sustain ourselves through this really difficult time in ways that I think maybe we wouldn't have been able to imagine if somebody had said, oh, you're not going to get to meet for 8 months. And you know, that's probably not going to change anytime soon. I think we may have thought, gosh, that would be absolutely terrible. And it has been difficult, no doubt about that. But it's just incredible how we've rallied together. The Apostle Paul was constantly challenging and encouraging the churches that he started or the churches that he mentored. He was challenging them to take care of one another. In 1 Thessalonians, he writes, "Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up just as in fact you are doing. And I want to say the same thing. Let's keep encouraging one another. Let's keep supporting one another, just as we have been doing. It's just been incredible. So thank you so much for doing that. As I was saying, you know, as we look ahead with some of the challenges of the pandemic, obviously, you know, some a glimmer of hope with the vaccine that they've been talking about recently. But, you know, as we head into the winter, we're probably going to have as many, if not more, restrictions. So we really need to look after one another, really need to continue to reach out. So I just want to share a few thoughts this morning about this whole issue of friendship, given the fact that, as I said, I think we know it's a positive thing. It's something we all long for and enjoy. And we also have to face the reality of some of the restrictions and tensions at the moment. And we're also going to hear from some people in our community, just some of the joys and the struggles of how they've wrestled with friendships during this pandemic era. So we'll be hearing from some people shortly. But first of all, I wanted to say, we you know, not only do we enjoy sort of collective friendship, like our community, that's a wonderful thing. But, you know, we all have special and specific relationships, both within our community and outside of it. And, you know, those friendships are just incredibly beautiful. Proverbs, the book in the Hebrew scriptures, is full of just beautiful poetry about friendships and the beauty of friendships. In Proverbs 27, verse 9, it says, "Just as lotions and fragrance have sensual delight, a sweet friendship refreshes the soul." And, you know, I think we can relate to that, right? That's kind of, you know, graphic, almost sensual imagery. But if you think of friendship like a lotion that somehow soothes us and restores us, we can probably all point to friendships like that. And, you know, we talk a lot here about, you know, love being the ultimate reality, you know, love being the currency of the universe. And but, you know, often we talk about that in the context of struggle. We might talk about it in terms of the, you know, the need for unity and reconciliation, for forgiveness, for loving our enemies. You know, it's about going against the flow of the world, if you like, and sort of flowing with love, and the struggle of that. But there's also, I think, sort of going with the flow, and, you know, the ease of friendships, that where it's not hard to feel love, and it's not hard to feel the love of God. It's not hard to feel joy and happiness and contentment in these precious friendships. You know, friendships are really good for us. They're a gift. They're beautiful. They can also be challenges themselves, right? So again, in Proverbs, it says in Proverbs 18, verse 24, "Friends come and friends go, but a true friend sticks by you like a family." So, you know, that's acknowledging the fact that friendships don't always work out. We certainly don't get to control friendships. But when we find a beautiful friendship, it's like family. It's so precious. Again, in Proverbs 27, it says, "Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses." I think the inference there is that, you know, friendships can be hard, and you know, they can be challenging. They're still beautiful. They're still precious. Many of us probably have experienced situations where some of our closest friends have given us feedback that hasn't been easy to take, but it's been given in love. It's been given with compassion, and it's opened us up and helped us see something about ourselves, or helped us change in some kind of way. Again, all that is part of what the beauty and preciousness of friendships. So this morning, what I'm going to do, I just want to share a few thoughts about friendships, and particularly how can we sort of enhance our friendship factor, if you like, in these difficult and restricted circumstances. And then we're going to hear from a few people in our community about some of the joys and struggles that they've been experiencing with friendships during the pandemic. So let's just look at five ways that we might be able to enhance friendships in the current situation. First one is to be proactive. Pretty obvious, I guess. But I think sometimes when we're feeling out of sorts with friendships, or if we're feeling lacking in friendship, or you know, like the friendship factor is not that high in our lives, and that might be how we're feeling right now. It's very easy for us to go on the back foot. It's very easy for us to withdraw and sort of wait for people to come to us. But let's remain proactive. Let's reach out to others. This is, I think, all part of being the change we want to see in the world. We all long for friendship, and we all long for closeness, and we don't always experience that. We certainly can't control it. We can't make it happen. But what we can do is be a friend to somebody else. We can be proactive. If in that sense, when Jesus said, you reap what you sow, I think that's a great example there. The more friendship we sow, the more friendship we reap. So let's be proactive. Let's be vulnerable. This might mean, actually the act of reaching out to somebody and saying, hey, I need you. You're a special person in my life. And in whatever way we can connect, again, with all the restrictions, let's do that. That might be a vulnerable act. Again, we can't force intimacy. You can't manufacture intimacy, but we can be intimate, and we can be vulnerable by reaching out to someone else. And also in this light, I think asking for help. It's sometimes hard to admit weakness or struggle, or just the fact that we need help with something. Last week, for instance, we were talking about rest, and we sort of finished up saying that sometimes it's hard for us to get a break. It's hard for us to take time out. And this is where friendships can come in, or close relationships, where we can ask somebody to help us so that we can take a break. Whether that's family, friends, or other friendships. And we'll be hearing a little bit about that from some others later, as I was saying, ways they've been able to navigate that. So let's be vulnerable. Let's be committed. I think in this era, none of us are ourselves, right? We're all a little bit weird. We're all a little bit off. In at certain times more than others, probably. It's just different. And we're not the same with our friends as we were before. That might especially be true with people that we're living with, people very close to us, where we can just be a little bit off, a little bit short-tempered, a little bit impatient. So let's remain committed, even though somebody might not be as friendly as they normally are, or just, maybe they're not as patient as they normally are, or they're not as engaging or as vulnerable or whatever. Let's remain committed to one another and sort of work through the ups and downs of it. I think of it was a few months ago, it was kind of fairly early on in the pandemic, one of my closest friends, somebody I've known, most of my adult life and very, very close to, and he lives out in Ohio. We travel to see each other a couple of times a year and speak, pretty much every week on the phone, just very, very close. During the pandemic, he kept reaching out to me, wanted to connect on Zoom, and I was just exhausted. I was talking a little bit about that last week, and I just didn't respond. And it was, in that sense, I was a bad friend. It was another thing to do. I sort of put it off till the end of the day, and then I was too tired. So I wasn't really a very good friend to him. But he kept persisting and was so patient with me. And when we actually talked, was so forgiving. Let's be like that with one another. I hope I can be like that kind of a friend too. But we're all just, struggling at the moment. So we just need extra patience and remain committed. I think of the words in 1 Corinthians 13, again, very familiar words, a scripture we quote very often. But in describing love, here's what Paul says. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. So let's keep that in front of us. I mean, none of us do that perfectly, but let's keep that as our goal. Let's keep that in front of us and persevere in our friendships with love, be committed to one another. Fourthly, let's be considerate. I guess the flip side of being committed is that we are all a little off and maybe just not quite ourselves at the moment, but let's be aware of that, not take the other person's acceptance and commitment to us for granted, but let's work at our issues. Let's be aware of how we're coming across. What's the runoff from our lives? What's the fallout from our lives? What vibe are we putting out? You know, as I was saying there, you know, when I was being unresponsive to a friend, you know, what I should have done is just responded, but saying, "Hey, I'm just really tired at the moment," or I just, can we, you know, can we set up a time when life's just a little bit easier? You know, let's be aware of how we might be coming across, and, you know, work at our own stuff in humility. And then finally, let's be a friend to ourselves. You know, this is the theme really of the whole series, that, you know, everything we've just talked about, that we're offering our friends, let's treat ourselves the same way. So, you know, where we're struggling, where we're finding it difficult, let's not beat ourselves up, but let's recognize that, yeah, it's difficult at the moment. These are difficult circumstances. And just give ourselves some grace, give ourselves some space as well, while balanced with being honest and working at growing and changing for the positive too. So let's hear now from a few people in our community. The Mathers and the Gaydenays are going to share with us about friendship in their context during the pandemic. And Stephen Tinnaker are going to go first. So let's welcome Stephen Tinnaker.
Okay, so we're going to talk a little bit about relationships, friendships, and how that works or doesn't in our current situation, which we could call COVID or quarantine, but we're not totally quarantined. So we're going to just share a little bit about how we've seen this whole thing happen and continue to happen for us as we're talking about taking care of ourselves and how friendships and relationships play a part in that.
So I think relationships have played a huge role, I think, for each of us individually, of course, and then, you know, friends and family have been very important to us, but we've also, I think, kind of cultivated this very social culture in our marriage and family, where it's really been important to us to host people and to open up our house to people. We've had people live with us and various points along the last 23 years, and we've you know, on a weekly basis prior to COVID, we're having people over, you know, I think like multiple times a week. Yeah. So we've had to really, for lack of a better term, pivot and change kind of how we relate socially to the people around us. And there have been some positives, and then there's been some big challenges for both of us, I think. We were a bit more kind of motivated at the start to engage a little more, try new things. It was the spring, so we like did more yard work, and I played tennis every day with the kids, and Steve played basketball, and I think we were a little more like, this is okay, and we're okay. And then I would say over the course of the last month, maybe when school went back this fall, I think we all kind of hit a wall. Yeah. Steve's work has not gotten any easier, and in fact, as a school assistant principal, it's been a pretty rough couple of months, and so that's put some strain on all of us, just because it's increased stress, I think, in the house. School for the kids has been a struggle, even though they're older, and for everybody out there who has young elementary age or preschool age kids, I can't imagine what you're going through, but just us noticing our children's, both of their struggles, have been a challenge for us as a family. And then just, I think, a little bit of fear. Like, there's, because COVID has been so, has affected the community or the world really so, like very just a kind of destructive thing. There's also been, I think, increased anxiety amongst us and our family and friends. And so navigating some kind of new worries has been kind of challenging for us, I think. But I think we're realizing too, we're a little hardier than we thought, and we've kind of rallied we've got some really good community,
right?
And our neighbors we've kind of rallied, so we've you know, we're checking in with each other, we're bartering baked goods, and we have chickens, so we give eggs to everybody, and then we get bread in return, or we've had a few neighbors who've gotten sick, and so we've made sure that they're shopped for and looked after. We've had a few neighbors who've lost income or lost their jobs, and so trying to just help make that an easier road. We've been fortunate enough at this point anyway to still have our full income, so we've been able to help with that, and it's been it's been a strange shift in community because it used to be much more face-to-face and in-person, and now it's still feels like community is happening, but it's looked different. There's tons of neighborhood fire pits happening, and I'm it's not unusual for me to just walk up to a neighbor fire pit.
What? To people that we don't really know that well?
I know.
Who does that?
And go and talk to some new people because I'm going crazy.
Right.
In my house. I think, too, we've tried to access some of the things that have been available at Cedar Ridge, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Outdoor yoga, the contemplative prayer time outside.
We've done our D group at the picnic tables a couple times, which, again, like you said, it feels still weird because we're going to be very careful, very conscious, safe, because we're not going to compromise, you know, that really important thing just to get together. But getting together, even with that awkward tension or vibe of safety first before just like touching each other, is really interesting. I don't know. I'm still not used to that. I don't know if I'll ever be used to it, but it makes, I think, like you said, it makes me appreciate our community, our connections a lot more, even though I rush to like embrace those, and it still feels off. It doesn't feel quite there. We're hoping that at Cedar Ridge, you know, we don't get to see all of the people. We do see some of our good friends from Cedar Ridge there, but hopefully that kind of thing will happen across our community where people can take care of themselves and each other in a really difficult period of our lives. So,
thanks.
Hi everyone, my name is Charles and this is Hannah. We've been asked to talk about the theme for this week, which is self-care through relationships. We want to talk about our relationship with our neighbors, with whom we formed a COVID bubble or a COVID pod or whatever you want to call it. I want to share a little bit about that.
Yeah, so we've known our neighbors for a few years, but back in March when all of this started, we decided pretty quickly that we were going to need some kind of system and some kind of way to stay sane, especially with two younger kids. So we decided that we would form a pod, as Charles mentioned. This required a lot of really hard conversations. While we knew each other, we'd never really sat down and talked about the decisions we made around where we went or who we saw or how we spent our time outside the house. And so that required a lot of sitting down around the kitchen table, agonizing over the uncertainty that we were facing, agonizing over just how were we going to make these decisions based on what evidence was available or, you know, comfort level. And that was really hard. It was a lot of really tough conversations, but it also produced a lot of really wonderful moments where we could be together. Our kids have really developed just a bond that's been incredible to see. This summer we ran a summer camp where each adult took 2 weeks off of work and ran a themed summer camp. So one of my weeks was cooking week. Charles ran a theater week. One of our neighbors did a nature week and a science week. So it was really a great opportunity for the kids to get to explore new things, and also for us to be able to do our jobs and not have to worry about childcare for a little bit. And I think there's, you know, it's been really amazing because we also went through some rough times this summer with health issues and a big move, health issues on our parents' part, and a big move by Charles's parents. And it was a time when I really don't know how we would have gotten through everything that we were juggling without them. Being able to know that they could take the kids for us if we needed to concentrate on something else. They packed boxes, they moved things. They were just such a lifeline through that time.
Yeah, so how does that relate to self-care? Well, we reached whole new levels of intimacy with our neighbors because of the conversations that we had and the way we supported each other. And I think we need that in our lives. We need to have relationships where we can be authentic, where we can receive and extend compassion, and really where we can be vulnerable with others. I think it's important to have that because that's how we can feel really care and love for ourselves, right? Compassion for ourselves, if we can have that those opportunities.
And I think, too, it was also an opportunity for us to learn how to ask for help. I think often we are afraid to ask others, especially a neighbor or someone maybe you don't know as well, or even people you do know well, that, you know, you can't do this by yourself and you really need help. And there were so many moments over the past 8 and 9 months when we've just had to ask for help because we can't do it. We've also had to be okay showing the ugly parts of ourselves, the times where we're getting angry because of the uncertainty, or we're sad because of everything going on around us. And just being able to have those relationships where it's okay to have those feelings and know that you're going to be supported and accepted and loved through it has been really meaningful for us.
Mm-hmm. And I would add that it also helped us realize just how little we are in control, right? I think this, we have this illusion that we're, we can manage our lives and control things. But this kind of remove the illusion. We do need community. We do need relationships. We are all connected with each other. And that was an incredible lesson to have. And it's been really important for us to have that relationship and to realize that we're not self-sufficient.
Yeah, so we pray that all of you are finding those relationships and finding those spaces where you can be authentic and vulnerable and be strengthened to be able to take care of yourself.
Thanks so much to the Mathers and the Gaydonese for sharing with us this morning. We're going to take communion in just a few moments. And communion is a time where we come together and eat a meal. At least it's symbolic of a meal. And meals in the ancient Near East were symbolic of friendship. You know, you ate with people you were connected to. It was a way to break down barriers. It was a way to celebrate connection. So that's what we're doing this morning. That's what we do every time we have communion together. But it's also a celebration of our friendship with God. Jesus incredibly talked about us as friends. In John's Gospel, chapter 15, Jesus says, "I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I've made known to you." So there's that, our connection to God is one of friendship. And that's pretty incredible. When you think about actually sort of ancient views of God and how people would appease God or gods, they would often bring food to be sacrificed on an altar. You know, sometimes animals, sometimes it was other produce. And that sort of led into, I think, a way of sort of paying off the gods, if you like. It was like, you know, the gods are mad at us, so we've got to please the gods. As opposed to perhaps looking at it as it's a meal, it's a coming together, it's friendship. It's not so much a sacrifice where we're having to make amends, but coming to a source of love that actually, ironically, makes the sacrifice themselves. And that's what we're experiencing when we're coming to communion, because that communion represents sacrifice. It's sacrificial love. Jesus, for instance, in that same chapter 15 of John's Gospel says, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. So if there's been any kind of falling out in this God-human relationship, whatever the cause of that falling out, God is coming sacrificially to love us and forgive us and accept us like a great friend, like a true friend. And we see that borne out, I think, when Jesus says to his disciples just before he was going to his he was going to be arrested and tried and eventually executed. He it's the Passover time, and he says to his followers, when it was time, he sat down all the apostles with him and said, "You've no idea how much I've looked forward to eating this Passover meal with you before I enter my time of suffering." Again. What a friendship. At that moment, there is Jesus at his most vulnerable, just saying, "I need you. You're my friends. I need you with me right now." And so, you know, as we come together, we're saying to one another, "We need you." We're saying to God, "We need you." And we're with Jesus in that. We're remembering Jesus and embodying Jesus, because that's what Jesus was like. So as we take communion, Richard and Kelly are going to lead us in that. Let's grab some bread or wine or some kind of liquid and food and celebrate friendship together.